The preeminence of God's Word. Preeminence of God's Word. God's Word is everything. The Scriptures tell us that heaven and earth could pass away. It could, if God said so. Heaven and earth could pass away, but God said, my Word cannot. Heaven and earth could pass away, but God says, my Word cannot. His Word is honored above all. And His Word is Christ. You know, we, as human beings, tend to think a lot of times that when things seem to slow down or stop or feel empty. Anyone ever feel empty? Anyone ever feel like things just stop? If you think about it, and we're going to think about it today because I'm up here and I'm going to make you think about it. If you think about it, the Word of God, the Word of God is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. But God is a spirit, and God is invisible. He's called the invisible God. So, if you will, the Word of God was invisible. The Word, Christ, was invisible. He's spirit, as God says, the invisible God. God is a spirit, not a man. You don't typically see spirits. They're of a different dimension. We see things as we know to see them based on light. Light from the sun or light from bulbs. Light gives us the ability, the capability of being able to see things that are present. Now, God is always present. Christ is always present. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, Christ, and always been. But God one day had an idea, but that idea was always in God. Everything that has ever been created, everything and anything that has ever been made known, you have always been a part of who God is. And we know that to be so because the Word says that He created all things, and without Him was not anything made. Nothing was made except by God. But God is a spirit, the invisible God, unseen. The Word also tells us that, speaking about Paul, he talks about the mystery of Christ. And he said he's preaching here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. He said he's preaching the Word to make the Word of God fully known. And what is the Word of God? He calls it the mystery, hidden for ages and generations, meaning invisible, but now revealed to His saints, to whom God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles the riches and the glory of this mystery, invisible, unseen, which is Christ. We talk about this a lot, in you, the hope of glory. When God decided to make Himself known, to make His Word visible, to make His Word present, He spoke it. And what He did when He spoke it, as we know, God speaking the Word, is He created. So think about the word speak as the same word as create. So when God created by His Word, His Word became visible. So the Word says now we can look up and we can see the invisible attributes of God. In other words, you can look up and see what is invisible or was invisible, now is visible. And He said, based on that, no one has an excuse to doubt God. You have to want to doubt Him, simply because creation is here. You're here, I'm here. There has to be a creator. Things have to be created by someone. God is a creator. But His Word is preeminent. His Word is glorious. His Word is powerful. His Word is more than you can articulate or more than you could know by yourself. His Word is life. His Word is visible, invisible. His Word is all things. His Word is the creations of all things. So the Word of God is the creativity of God. And God's Word dwells in you. That's the hope of glory. Or I like to think about it like this. That's glory, the kingdom of heaven, all the seraphims, cherubim, angels, all God's creation, the hope of God's glory being revealed is going to be revealed or unveiled through us, through something God calls faith. Just dependency in relationship with Him. Full dependency in relationship with Him. Independently dependent on God, which means I am dependent on God just because that's who He made me to be. No one makes me dependent on God. He calls you to be dependent, so you are independently dependent upon God, fully dependent. And in the Word of God is creativity. And then He said He put His Word inside of you. So God's Word in you doesn't change because it's in you. It's the same Word. Always has been. You're hungry for a prophetic word, you need to know what prophecy is. The revelation of Christ is the embodiment, the spirit, the force, the authority, the glory, the preeminence of prophecy. The revelation, Christ being revealed, Christ being made known, is prophecy in spirit, in essence. The full embodiment of what prophecy is all about is Christ. So, the depth of prophecy. I can prophesy something to you like this is going to happen, or by a word of knowledge this has taken place, and this is why, and this is what is going to take place. God could show me a number, a date, a name, all of those things I've experienced. All of those things. And those are part of the prophetic anointing of God. They fall under the umbrella of prophecy, foretelling. But the King, the supremacy, the power of prophecy is to know Christ in His fullness. And you can't know it by someone telling you who He is. I could talk to you and describe to you Christ in various and sundry different ways, but that wouldn't make you or empower you to know Him. You would have to believe the word that is spoken and independently become dependent on that word. In other words, you have to make it yours. Prophecy, the real body of prophecy, the real thrust, the real authority of prophecy, isn't necessarily what people think. Because in Christ, in knowing Him in you, knowing Him in you, Jesus, see me, seeing you in me. That's where the power of prophecy lies, because your design facilitates everything and anything you could possibly ever, ever, ever need. Everything. Absolutely everything. Your design. Not just your being. God created man. And that was great, but God gave man a design. And He did it when He gave man His word. Man would be something far different if God just created him, put a crown of glory, robed him in righteousness and truth, and didn't give him His word. It'd be a totally different world. Because when God gives you His word, He embodies you with Himself. Literally, figuratively, literally, invisibly, visibly, concealed, revealed in every way that God is. God's word in you is preeminent. God's word in you is all authority and all power and all wisdom and all knowledge and all understanding. Wanting God's word to do things for you can happen. And it does happen. It happened in the wilderness many, many, many times. Moses would speak a word, he'd raise his staff, and something incredible, wondrous would take place. But it didn't change anybody. People marveled, people saw, and then they wanted more of the same. God gave Solomon glory and honor and power and wisdom and wives, and there were never enough. It was never enough. what we want and what we need, what we look for and what we can't see are totally different things altogether. The invisible is what God wants us to know. That's why he created this sphere I call space, meaning void and emptiness, so he could fill it with something, because there was no emptiness. There was no void until God created it. Everything, every place was full of the glory of God. The Word tells us that over and over and over. His glory is renowned. His glory fills everything. But God said, we're going to create emptiness. We're going to create void. And unusually enough, that's where God began to reveal himself in a way that we can know him. In a way that heaven could know him. Heaven knew God, knows God differently, more in depth, when God created the earth. Now we know the earth is important because he made a covenant by his word, Jesus Christ. And he spilled the blood of Christ, and it pleased God to do so. So this place, this planet, you, your being, your existence, this time and place is essential. It's very, very important to God. And it's important for you to know that. It's not so important for us to want to get out of where God has placed us, but to get out of where God has placed us, everything he wants us to get. Did you hear that? Would you like me to repeat it? We oftentimes want to get out of where we are instead of getting out everything that we should get out of where we are. God, help me get, before you get me out of Dodge, make me the fastest gun in Dodge, okay? Make me the best, most proficient shot. Make me the best sheriff. Make me the best cowboy. Make me the best cattleman. Make me the best. I want to get the best out of where I am before I get out of the West. I just went to Tucson. I want it out. We left wonderful, cool California. I'll never think California is ever hot again. 114 degrees. Yeah, that was me. Woo! I wanted out the minute I stepped out of the plane and felt the heat just radiating. And I said, this can't be real. No one in their right mind would live in a place this hot. This must be where God sends you when you die and you're not saved. It has to be here. So I have a new message. If you don't get saved, God will send you to Arizona when you die. And there are people out there working and walking and doing. They're living there in the heat. And I found it ridiculous, unreasonable. And then the sun boiled my brain and I just thought, I'm going to make the best of it. And we did. Sometimes you have to get the most out of where you are before you can get out of where you are. You should write that down and remember it the next time you get upset because of where you are. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I did want a glass of ice water, a tall glass of ice water when I was there. But he makes me to lie down in green pastures. There aren't a lot of green pastures, but I looked for them. There is green cactus. So I decided he makes me lie down beside green cactus. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And trust me, I needed it. Didn't we, Donna? Anton couldn't handle it. He left. He said, I have to go take care of business. Well, he knows that I know he can take care of business wherever he is, but that was a good excuse. Something incredible is happening in the world today. And I pray for our nation. I pray that God would open the eyes of the blind in every nation. In the U.S., in Israel, in Iran, in China, throughout in Russia, throughout the world. God, open the eyes of the blind. Heal the lame, the deaf, the dumb. Restore sight and hearing and understanding them. Call the nations to repentance. God, uproot and remove what is not to be in position, what should not be in rule, in authority, in control. God, remove. God is judge. And God, plant that which is right and just and truthful and honorable and wise. Your kingdom come, O God. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so let your people and your nations walk in the peace and the glory of your presence, your love, your salvation, and your power. In the name, the identity, the character in which we claim and come and stand righteous before God, in Jesus' name, we address heaven. Amen, amen. Something incredible is taking place. The Word of God is embodying the people. There is a hunger for prophecy. And the hunger for prophecy is taking on another glory. The hunger for prophecy is going to be like coming to a river of water when you're in Tucson, Arizona, and it is 114 degrees. As my soul longs after the water. And my soul longed after the water. But it makes you, it really does make you think. As a deer pants for the water brook, as a deer looks for water, so my soul longs after you. The Word of God, prophecy, is taking on another level, another degree of God's glory. Now, one degree of glory from the other, there is a difference, but there is no greater. The least teaches you how to get up, how to walk, how to think. The Word says the kingdom of God is like a child. So even in the infancy of your salvation, there is so much to be had, so much to be learned, so much that is so important. And the simplicity of a child. We have a beautiful little niece. They call her Ray Ray. She's how old? About 2 years? She's 2 years old. And she's just the sweetest, cutest, most adorable little baby girl you could imagine. And we visited my niece, Cookie and Justin. This is their child. And we were all visiting, and the child, the little Ray Ray, comes up, and she did it to a couple of us, but she did it to me. She came up and she said, "You want to play?" I said, "Yeah." So she didn't wait to see if I wanted to play. She didn't wait for an answer. She just said, "You want to play?" And she was off. In her mind, she and I, we are going to play. And in order to play, I had to get down on the floor. And she just, without consideration, just assumes when she says, "Let's go play," whoever she asks, they're just going to go play. And she went in and she sat down and I followed her. And we sat down on the floor and played. We put a puzzle together. Whatever she wanted to do. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a child. If you will take on the faith and the heart that God, let's go together. God, we're going to go do this. The Lord is my shepherd. He will not only lead you, He will follow your faith because it is His word that goes before you. He's not following you as an individual. He's following you as an individual word of the living God. You are a creation of God's word. Prophecy is taking on a stronger, more mature figure. A more mature voice where we will walk in the prophecy, which is the will and the word of the Lord. We will be embodied by the very nature of who Christ in us is. And we're going to start acting like we're really born again. I'm prophesying to you right now. We're going to start thinking on a more mature level instead of becoming angry and irritated and frustrated because things aren't going the way we want them to. We're going to see the void in the Genesis of God's time where the Word says, and God created the earth and the earth was void. God does things in the void. He does things in the empty. And God It wasn't just void. God created the void. It didn't just show up. God created the void. And it was empty. God created the empty. And it was dark. God created the dark because he had to, because he's light. God has to create dark. Darkness is simply the absence of light, the absence of the presence of light. You can't be absent from light. God is light. God has to create the absence of light. God's word is spirit. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." We sometimes think of them as produce. You go to the tree, you pick it, you eat it, and you get full. No, God's word is spirit. And when God created, he created a void because that's what God wanted. He wanted an emptiness because he wanted to show the invisible attributes of God to become manifest in a visible way. So the word of God now was not only articulated, "Let there be," but the word of God took on a presence. "Let there be light." And there was light, and God did it in the void. Whatever the void you feel in your life is, what you need to look for, wisdom would dictate that you look for, is, "God, your hand is moving inside of me to do something in me, not around me, in you." Because your design facilitates everything you would possibly ever need, ever want, or ever hope for. But the Word of God facilitates what you don't even know you need. The Word of God is spirit. Jesus said, "The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And you can't know them until you receive them as your own identity." There's no way for me to just demonstrate, and if I take and just demonstrate heaven coming down or just demonstrate fire on a mountain, it won't change you. I can take your staff, Moses, and turn it into a snake. It won't change you. But when you pick it up and make it your own, because God said so, the word of the Lord said so, now that becomes a part of you. And when it's a part of you, then you can see it. But not until. You can prophesy accurately, powerfully, concisely, precisely what is to be. But until you, the individual, you become the identity of the invisible, you'll never see what God's doing. God's word is spirit. And God said, "This is what I'm going to do with my word. I'm going to create man in my image and in my likeness." That's how we're going to create him. "And then I'm going to give him my word." And the moment I give him my word, he becomes a specific design to facilitate that word. So I'm going to create him, you, in a way that he can facilitate. He can act upon my word. When God acted upon his word, his idea, his mind, his kingdom, things took the shape of God's mind. And God said, "Now I'm giving you dominion to subdue. Now you are a design. First, you're a creation. Now, you're a design." That means whatever that design is can facilitate everything and anything that design is possibly going to need, because you were made in the image and the likeness of God. And God is the fullness of everything. There is no lack. There is no emptiness. There is no void in God. But he created one in order to give you the ability to connect with him by faith. So emptiness is always a blessing from God. It says to you, God is going to create something you don't even know about through your faith. And the simple thing that you want is only bait on the end of a line to get you there. Now that you begin to act upon your faith in regard to something you think you need, God says, your faith is what I need. Now I need your dependency upon me to do my will, because my will is exceeding abundant and beyond anything you could possibly imagine. But God's saying, I want to build the foundation of your understanding so you will learn to have trust and relationship with me, so I can manifest my invisible attributes through you. We are, in fact, the echo. Do you know what sound is? Do you know what sound is? Sound isn't really something you hear like you think. Sound is something you feel. If you can't feel it, you don't know it. Your auditory nerve tells you you hear it, but your auditory nerve doesn't hear anything. It feels it. The power of music isn't what you hear. It's what you feel. You think you hear it, but it's a spirit. You can't see it. It's a wave. God spoke, we think of it as a word, but it was a wave. It is life. It is the essence, the presence of God. When we come together to worship, everybody in this place, everybody in line, you should connect. I don't care what you think. You should connect with what's taking place. You should become one, because when we come before God, it really is more about us being. The power is in our presentation. Sound, we feel it. You're moved by sound, by music, when you can feel it, and then it moves you. You ever been moved emotionally through sound, through music? Maybe you're frustrated. You'll turn on something, you know, you're in this kind of a mood, and then after a while, you just chill. The wave is dictating how you feel, but you deliberately went and you turned it on. Or maybe you sat beside water. Every now and then we'll turn on these scenes. I don't know what you call them on television. And it may be water flowing or birds flying or scenery. And it's just calming. It just is nice. We are susceptible to God's creative attributes. And the Word of God is as powerful in your mouth as it was when God spoke it. His word is yes, and in Him, amen. You can't change it. It doesn't diminish when it comes into a vessel of faith. It is the Word of God, and the Word of God creates. Word of God creates. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no separation there. But Christ, God, made His Word manifest, and we beheld it. Beheld what? The Word of God. It was invisible. But when God created a body, one of these, everybody have one of these? Look at your hands. Everyone have one of these? When God created that, that was God's invisible attribute saying, now you can see it. So the invisible becomes visible. The Word of God on the inside of you is an invisible attribute of God. When God said to Adam and Eve, take dominion, that gave them design. It means now you are commanded, which means you are designed to carry out this command. If you couldn't carry it out, God would be tempting you to do something you can't do. And that would be wrong. When a man is tempted, let not that person say, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does He tempt anybody. In short, it's time for you to begin to manifest creatively what God has put on the inside of you. And it first begins to change you in here, the way you think. The way you speak. Your words are creative forces, and it's creating things all around you. Every time you open your mouth and declare a thing, if you are not watchful over the power, the preeminence of your words, you don't understand your design. You shouldn't curse. You curse yourself, you curse your way. If you will, real simple, those vibrations are contradiction to your favorable life and blessing and joy and peace. It doesn't have to do with who hears you or how concealed you are. You should open your mouth and bless. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That's what should come out of your mouth. It is time for the body of Christ to come into its prophetic call. In the last days, says God, there's going to be prophecy. He wasn't saying everybody's going to start prophesying. We're going to begin to live in the nature of prophecy. What is that? Christ. The fullness of Christ. The spirit of prophecy. The embodiment, the reason, the reality of prophecy is Jesus Christ being revealed in you and through you, the hope of glory, the hope of God's glory. We look to get out of situations instead of getting out of them what we should. Because everything that comes into your life has a measure of mystery. It has something, the essence of something you need in order to continue to empower you in your design. Everything. Thus, all things work together for your good. And then people look, well, this isn't good. You totally averted what God was saying. He didn't say everything you experience is going to look good, feel good, you're going to see. He said all things have a measure, a level of insight, wisdom, understanding, the nurturing nature of God that you need, or it wouldn't be at your door. He will lead you in the way you should go. He will direct you in the way you should go. He's always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And He is good. His thoughts towards you are so good and so many, you couldn't possibly even number them if you tried. And God needs space in you to fulfill His word. And when it's not being facilitated in you, you feel empty, you feel sad, you feel depressed, you feel alone, you feel fear. You start fearing what may come instead of being the prophecy with the confidence this is what is coming. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. You are blessed beyond measure. It's what the scriptures tell us. And that God's thoughts towards you, His thoughts are ideas. His ideas are creative. Every time the Word of God comes together with His thoughts, you appear. That's how this all came. God had a thought. He had an idea. He revealed His word concerning that idea, and it became visible. Always been with Him. Everything you need has always been with God. Everything you are called to be has always been with God. It is who God is. But He gave us the ability to unite with Him so the invisible attributes of God could be made known and God could share His glory with all creation. The angels get to look and see, I never saw Christ in the way. I never saw the Word of God in that way. I didn't know what salvation looked like, or love, or mercy, or grace, or me. I didn't know the attributes of glory and grace and salvation. We didn't know the attributes of faith and surrender and repentance and born again and alive from the dead. We never knew this. Until the Word, which was always all of that and always there, was manifest towards the sons and daughters of God. His Word is preeminent. His Word is power, but it's no less powerful in you than it was when it came out of the mouth of God. No less, because you cannot change His Word. Heaven and earth could pass away, but you can't change God's Word. But God's word is pure, like silver refined in an earthen vessel, seven times as pure as it gets. And you can't change that. But you have to receive it as the word of living life. This is how I live. God says, I do. God says, I am. God said, my design is after his image and after his likeness and in his form and in his love and in his soundness and peace and joy and wisdom and power. I am. You start thinking and praying and talking and living like that, you'll be a lot nicer person. You'll find it hard to be nasty and mean just because someone else is to you. When you allow people to control you, people are in control of you. When their actions determine your response, they're in control, you're not. God created you to have dominion. God said to Adam and Eve, take dominion. That meant their creation just turned into a design. From creation to design. Now you have a purpose. Now this is your design. God's given you his word. When God speaks to you prophetically, he's given you an assignment to see Christ revealed in you. It's not really even about the thing. It's about you receiving the word of God by faith in Christ. And then Christ begins to build things all under you and around you, foundations you never even knew you would need. So he can build upon that foundation just like he said. And what he's building is the church. And the church is his body. And his body is the fullness of all things. That's Christ in you. And God said, I'm going to take the invisible attributes of who I am that were kept hidden for ages, eons, generations, and now I'm going to make it known so you can come into unity, to the unity of the faith. And that invisible attribute is called my word. My word. My word. So God says, love. So you just love. You don't decide when you get to love, how you get to love, why you get to love. You just take it as the creative word of God. God said, love, I'm created to love. God said, forgive, you forgive. He said, have no other gods before me. That means you can't make Satan another god, just a little lower than God. There is no god but God. No god, no god, no power but God. Those powers which be are ordained of God for his glory, for his purpose, and for his pleasure. It's all good. All things work together for good. God dwells in you by the invisible attribute of his word. When it expresses itself through you, it becomes manifest. It becomes a witness and a testimony. Your negative, nasty attitude becomes nice and kind. That's the ministry of God working through you. That's the revelation of Christ. That's the visible, that's the unhidden nature of God being revealed in you. When you worship God, you're not doing it because you chose to, you're doing it because you were designed to. Your faith is compelling you to manifest the Word of God. When you worship, you're manifesting the Word of God. When we come together in this house, you should all go just crazy in worship. It is your priesthood. It is all about a presentation. How do you present yourself before God? Jesus said it like this. He said, he's talking about the kingdom, his presence, his appearance, his power. And he says, it's like a lord that went away on a trip and he gave his money to his servants. Three servants gave them each a certain sum. To one he gave five. According to his proven ability. In other words, he had proven that he was worthy of five. To another, two. Same case. To another, one. The guy with five goes, makes five more. Guy with two, two more. The guy with one, no more. The Lord comes back because he wants a presentation. Present to me what you had with what you now have. Present it to me. Present to me your increase. I'm telling you today, you have an increase you need to present before God because he's given you ample time, ample opportunity, ample word. It wasn't about the number of talents. It was about the presentation of the increase. And the one brought to him and said, there's five. He said, well done. You've been faithful over little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. All the way back to Genesis. Have rule and dominion and subdue. Make you ruler over much. To the two. Two could have said, you gave him five. You didn't. No, it's just, this is what it is. Before I get out or complain about getting more, I'm just going to get out of what you've given me. Get out of what God has given you before you get out of where you are, and you'll be much better off. The one with one said, I hid it. Well, the whole point of Christ is to reveal the glory and the love of the Father, salvation, freedom, deliverance, healing, righteousness. This man was trying to hide what God wanted revealed and increased because it was all about a presentation. God is requiring that you present yourself with the increase of your salvation, with the increase of your faith. And you need to hear this. Paul said it. He said, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, present yourself like a living sacrifice. Here's your presentation, holy, acceptable unto God. This should be how you think, and this should be your worship. How do you present yourself before God? No one's watching. You're not in church. No prophetic word is going to change that. No miracle, no sign, no wonder is going to change your presentation. That's up to you and Christ in you. Awaken, O sleeper. Awaken to righteousness. God is waking up our nations. What we are experiencing and will experience from this point moving forward, especially over the next 2.5 years, is going to be on a global level. Not just going to happen here or happen there. It's going to happen globally. You won't have a place to hide. God doesn't want you concealed. He wants the glory, the talent He put on the inside of you revealed, and God is demanding that this day. Show me the fruit of your faith. Don't complain about what you don't have, because God, in the invisible vacuum, the vapor, the void, creates. So that's not an excuse. You don't have enough is certainly not an excuse to not have. It is an excuse to produce. God produces in the void, in the not enough, in the vacuum. That's your design. In the emptiness, God creates through the word He's placed in you. But a lot of people are proficient and masters of creating are excuses and complaints and dissatisfaction. But what God has given you, you don't say what the servant with one said. I didn't have enough and I didn't trust you. What you say is, what you've given me is more than enough. And if you've given me a void and an empty box and a space, that's more than enough. Because that's where you create by your faith in me, and you allow me to be part and party in partnership with the power of your word. Christ in me is the hope of glory. So God, create through me today. Create through me by your word. In the void, just like you did in Genesis, this world, this globe, this universe that we stand in, and this earth that we stand on. God created it to show us that in the greatest vastness of void and emptiness and not enough, God's power is preeminent through His word. And then He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm giving you my word. And Christ came and gave us the word. On the mountain, God gave Moses commandment as a teacher to get us to the point where we could believe when Christ spoke, we'd receive the word. And the word of God is Christ. Christ in you. Love, kindness, meekness, gentleness, mercy, peace, joy, forbearance, humility, surrender, righteousness. Don't you ever think again, because you went through a rough time, a rough season, you were abandoned, disliked, divorced, walked away from, hated, despised, that that's an excuse for you to act outside of the order of your design, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because that is absolutely from the genesis of time, that is the very space in which God does His wonders. In the void, the emptiness that I left, they divorced me, they hated me, they spoke ill against me. Sounds pretty familiar to me. Sounds like the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The Word of God took flesh and made it God. And the Word became flesh. And we beheld Him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and glory. Preeminence of God's Word dwelt Him in Him. And God's presence dwelt in Him in fullness, in bodily form. The Word of God took flesh and made it obedient. Took flesh and made it obedient. What's your excuse? We're preaching now. The Word of God took a beating and turned it into healing. Well, they talk bad about me and they don't like me and they abuse me. Well, good for you. I'm sure you've done your share. It carried the shame and handed us honor. Handed us honor. The Word of God. You can't change it. No matter what you do to it. Took the cross and made it a new covenant. Covenant of eternal life. Took the grave, took death to the grave, and in return gave us eternal life. You can't change the Word of God. No matter where it shows up, it will do something far exceeding your imagination, what you think you need, and certainly changes your mind and what you want, and gives you the representative of who Christ in you is, God's glory manifest, the preeminence of God's Word. Prophecy is taking on a fuller identity, and that identity is going to be manifest in the body that says, I hunger and thirst after the Word of God. Give me the spirit of insight. Give me the spirit of revelation. Reveal God's Word. Reveal God's truth. We've been looking for the wrong thing. We're asking the wrong questions. I don't need to know what I'm missing. I need to know what I have. God's Word is full. And if His Word dwells in you, then you're full. If it doesn't, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and receive the engrafted Word of God. By that, you can perform the will of the Father. His Word is preeminent. It's all about your presentation. How do you come before the Lord? Do you come in need, or do you come in full? Jesus didn't come in need. He came in full. He said, I didn't come to be ministered to. I came to minister. Prophecy is taking on its true form. For the spirit of prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ revealed. Christ made known. That's what all prophecy was about from the Genesis, from the beginning of time. It was all about Christ and who Christ in us is. Stay hungry. And stay full. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. We either live in that and we act upon what God has commanded us to do, or you go another round in the desert and you eat the same manna and you walk through the same hot sun in Tucson. Tucson's a wonderful place. My wife was born there, my daughter was born there, and I thank God for Tucson. But I don't like the heat. But it's a good foraging place for apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. It's a good forging place for the body of Christ. The heat God puts you in is there to make you aware that no matter where you are, even in the depths of Arizona, the Lord is with you. He didn't leave me. He didn't forsake me. He was with me always. He's with you. And this is the greatest season of your lives. If you believe it, stand to your feet this morning. Give the Lord praise. Father, we praise you today because we can. And we can because you've made us to worship you. We are proficient worshipers. Every human being on the planet is most proficient at worship because that's what we're created to be. Our design is to be in awe and glory and worship and wonder of you so you can share the nature of who you are with us. What great love the Father has bestowed upon us. You have clothed us in your love, your benevolence, your kindness, your mercy, your joy, your peace, your wisdom, your spirit, your presence, and your power. You're God, you're great, you're good, and you're present with us. You're present with us, creations of your will and design by your Spirit. Our design, Father, you said, we are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You made the invisible attributes of who you are manifest, revealed through us by faith in who you are through Christ. What a great gift. What a wonderful circle. God, we praise you for the union you've given us in Jesus Christ, the one and only Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. I pray your Spirit, Father, breathe on your people today, O God. Clothe them in your presence. Raise your hands right now. I prophesy over you. The Spirit of God's Word breathe into you. Walk in faith like you've never walked in faith. This is a time to run faster, jump higher, go longer, believe stronger, shout louder, worship more than ever before. This is the dawning of a new era. This is the open door of a new season. As God purges the soil of our earth, we're going to find things, treasures, secrets, mysteries will be revealed from simple things that seem simplistic in nature, but yet profound in their power. So he's going to give us some of its treasures, mysteries, and secrets. The earth will mother nutrition, health, strength, revelation. God will be glorified. The heavens will rain down revelation, insight, truth, spirit, power, wisdom, and honor, wherein God will be glorified in it and through it all. And Father, we give you praise for it today. God will give you the desires of your heart because he's sown that seed of desire on the inside of you as you overcome your own desire. From when do wars and fighting come from? Don't they come of your own lust that war in you? And the Word of God is what take dominion over you by the Word of God. Live in accordance to the power of God's Spirit and not just an empty command. God's Word is power to you and in you. And through you, God is glorified. And Father, we give you praise. Thank you, my God, for nurturing the nature that you have given to us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everyone shouted, yeah.